The Argus leader sued the city of Sioux Falls for violating South Dakota's Open Records Act. The city entered into a contract with Denny Sanford Premier Center Contractors to keep the contents of a settlement confidential. The city maintains that one subpart of the Open Records Act allowed that contract to happen legally. A lower court agreed, and the Argus leader appealed to the South Dakota Supreme Court. During oral arguments in January, much was made of the placement of one comma in the shaky concept in legal writing called the Doctrine of the Last Antecedent. Spoiler alert, the Argus leader won. Justices were not unanimous in their ruling, but none of them defended the statute as an example of good writing. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Victoria Wicks explores language and the law in this feature for In the Moment.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Every year, the South Dakota legislature considers hundreds of bills. About 500 in 2017. That's thousands of pages and hundreds of thousands of words. That's a lot of writing. And so it's not unreasonable to believe that during the course of a legislative session, some problematic language is likely to slip through. And when it does, it's often the task of the courts to sort it out. So is the case with a small bit of the 2009 Open Records Act. It's not even a complete sentence. It's one of 27 exemptions to the presumption that government records are open. Other exceptions are attorney work product, trade secrets, law enforcement investigations, that kind of thing. So this one, this problematic one, we'll call it number 20, and here's the wording. Any document declared closed or confidential by court order, comma, contract, comma, or stipulation of the parties to any civil or criminal action or proceeding. The question is, does the last part of this item, a double prepositional phrase, of the parties to any civil or criminal action or proceeding, attach only to the word stipulation, which comes right before it? Or does it apply to the two other items in the list, court order and contract?
I think what happened here is it got a comma, got some bad grammar. We all know what bad grammar is in legislation. We've been there before.
Attorney John Arneson represented the Argus leader. In January, he argued before the state Supreme Court that the word contract is also modified by that prepositional pileup and that a comma coming after contract should be considered meaningless. At the time of oral arguments on January 11th, the 2017 legislature was in session. Justice Stephen Zinter indicated that Arneson should seek a solution there.
If this is bad, if the legislature stuck the word contract in the middle of this, as you say, the fact is they used the word contract and they put in a comma. Now, why shouldn't you be upstairs right now asking them to take the comma out of the sentence?
We are.
Okay.
But I can't be two places at once. And I'm not a lobbyist. But, yes, we are.
Arneson referred to House Bill 1166, which was at the time in the drafting stage. But he told Zinter he thought the legislature had unintentionally made a mistake with its wording of number 20.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say if you can drag in one legislator from 2009 that would come in and say, Arneson, you're full of it. This is exactly what we wanted to do. I'll walk away and then go back upstairs and do it that way.
Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be alone.
3 weeks later, when House Bill 1166 came up for hearing in the House Judiciary Committee, David Bordewijk testified on behalf of the South Dakota Newspaper Association and echoed John Arneson's confidence.
A question is, did we intend in 2009 that any government settlement or any government contract may be kept confidential? I would suggest that we did not.
But a line of lobbyists suggested otherwise.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Telling, he's a registered lobbyist on behalf of the South Dakota County Officials Association and the County Commissioners Association and the South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association.
In addition to Tellinghusen's organizations, opposition came from the State Bureau of Administration, the State's Attorneys Association, the Municipal League, South Dakota Retailers, South Dakota Bankers, and a number of utilities.
I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee.
The bill died in committee.
Are you saying that this provision is not ambiguous or is ambiguous? That's a starting point that we've got to look at.
I'm saying it's not ambiguous. It is absolutely crystal clear.
During oral arguments in January, Justice Glenn Severson questioned James Moore, who represented the city of Sioux Falls. Moore said contract was meant to stand alone.
And the fundamental rules of punctuation and grammar that support that are the doctrine of the last antecedent, which in this context we're talking about is a judicial canon of construction, a rule of interpretation. It's also a rule of English grammar.
Back in 1891, an attorney, Jabez Sutherland, just got fed up with the number of cases he read that had this problem, this ambiguity problem.
Terry LeClerc wrote the book on this doctrine, or at least a long article, appropriately titled Doctrine of the Last Antecedent, The Mystifying Morass of Ambiguous Modifiers.
So he invented a punctuation rule. I kid you not. A lawyer in 1891 invented a punctuation rule.
LeClerc seems to say that lawyers should stick with lawyering and leave grammar and punctuation to the grammarians. Considering lawyers routinely call a hyphen a dash, she might have a point. She discounts the infallibility of Sutherland's doctrine.
What he did in a first paragraph was come up with a kind of a clustering rule, and then in the second paragraph, he contradicted himself. And so the doctrine of the last antecedent is referred to often in courts, but they pick which part of it they like.
LeClerc says legal writing is hard, and it's important.
Back in the English department, if I used the word that or which, if I put in a comma or didn't, nothing happened. The world didn't quit revolving. I didn't have a client lose $1 million. The poetry would go on. The memo would be read. But over in the other world, as I left the English department and went to the law school, all of a sudden, words and punctuation mattered so much.
Out of the doctrine of the last antecedent emerged an almost mythical importance to the Oxford comma.
Say you're helping plan a friend's party, and he sends you a text asking you to bring Bob, a DJ and a clown. You're pretty impressed. You had no idea Bob was so multi-talented. But when the day arrives, it turns out that he's not, and you were supposed to bring three different people.
Okay, to understand this, you need to know there was a comma after Bob, but not after DJ. So, in its confusing state, it's Bob, comma, a DJ, and a clown. The YouTube guy is saying if you put a comma after DJ, you fix the problem.
This final comma in a list, placed directly before the main conjunction, such as and, or nor, is called the serial comma, or Oxford comma. And it has long driven grammar nerds crazy.
This grammar nerd disagrees with YouTube guy. An Oxford comma inserted after a DJ might still lead readers to believe that Bob is a DJ if they think those commas make DJ an appositive. Bob, a DJ, and a clown. But the Oxford comma definitely eliminates Bob the clown. If the friend put the list in different order, the request is clear. Please bring a DJ, a clown, and Bob. And then the Oxford comma can be there or not. It makes no difference. That same fix might have worked with number 20, listing three ways to close a document. By stipulation of the parties to any civil or criminal action or proceeding, comma, court order, comma, or contract. In its opinion, the majority says it's clear number 20 refers to the judicial process, not city contracts, and sides with the Argus leader. Zinter dissents. He writes that number 20, quote, is a bad law that was poorly drafted and needs revision, but under our Constitution, it is not this court's role to fix poorly drafted statutes.
Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill.
Yes, in light of this opinion, those who want number 20 to include three methods of closing a government document by court order, contract, or stipulation will probably have to sponsor a bill. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
But I know I'll be a law someday, at least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.